This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Spoiler alert on FUBAR Radio.
That's right, you are listening to Spoiler Alert on FUBAR Radio with myself, Adam Johnson, Adamantium. I've also got my companions with me. I have got Claire Lim, Wee Claire.
Hi.
And I've also got Richard Edwards.
Hello.
How are you guys?
I'm really good.
Yeah, good, thank you. Good. How are you?
Knackered. Tired.
Are you excited about your Canadian trip coming up?
Yes. So this is, this is like timey-wimey sort of, I feel like a time traveler right now because I'm doing this here in the studio in London right now. But when this actually gets broadcast on Sunday, I'm going to be in Canada.
Right. So we're listening
to... Heads explode.
Past Adam speaking from the past.
So have
you got any messages for your future self?
Watch out for that. And there you go.
Okay, cool. All right, okay, cool. Or wrap up.
Yeah, wrap up.
Wrap up. You know, don't forget your socks, your pants.
It can't be that cold now, is it?
I don't know. I think like when we looked at the weather last, I love doing this. When you're about to go on holiday, you must do this, guys. Mm-hmm. When you look at your app and it's... You go, oh, what's the weather like there? What's the weather like there? And you every day you're checking what the weather is like.
Yeah, no, totally. I still look at LA and I'm like, oh. Like, I don't know why I do that. I'm not going back any times to this.
No, I tend to do that when I'm away. And I've been at like San Diego Comic Con, and San Diego's famous for having one of the best climates in America. I look at my phone. Oh, it's warmer in the UK.
Yeah, totally.
And this is in July. You know, how does that work?
But, I know, you kind of look at it going, oh, rubbish. But, you know, nothing changes. Mm. I think that would be my power if I was a superhero. To change the British weather, just the British weather,
like a British storm.
A British storm, a Scottish storm, just like be gone, shite weather, be gone.
Just be nice and mild for a bit.
Yeah, nice and mild, not too hot, not too cold. Just a nice light jacket weather.
Oh, we don't want extremes.
No, we don't want extremes though. Just light
the
jacket.
The non-extreme men, yeah.
The non-extreme men, I love it. But yeah, have you had a geeky month?
I have had a very, very geeky month. Obviously, we've all now seen Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've all seen X-Men Apocalypse.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No spoilers.
No spoilers yet.
No spoilers.
Well, we're talking about...
What did you think?
I think you could... Anyway, we'll get on to that.
We'll get on to that a little bit later.
Yes.
But also, I bought Uncharted 4.
Oh, is it good?
Now... I love the Uncharted series. Nathan Drake, absolute hero. Like, he's like the epitome. Like, he's kind of like he's basically Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
but a cooler, more rugged.
He's like a kind of impossible, flecky Indiana Jones.
What do you mean impossible?
You can't be cooler than Indiana Jones. Yeah, no. This is just impossible.
Oh, true. Yeah. In this one, he has got a sort of whip.
He's got a sort of whip. That doesn't make him.
Indiana
cooler.
Jones has got a proper whip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. I loved it. I bought it and I've played it like non-stop, and it's just there are Easter eggs in there because obviously if you have been following the news, Naughty Dog, who developed Uncharted, have sort of come out and said that they've taken one of the big stages at E3 this year. Now, what that is a hint to, we don't know because they're not releasing anything until they actually do the announcement, which is in a couple of days from now, isn't it? It's normally about the beginning of June.
Yeah.
But there are hints throughout that game of like Easter eggs and nods, one of which is obviously to The Last of Us, American Daughter, which is right at the very end. Spoiler alert, at the very end of the game, you'll see a poster in a room, which is of a pregnant lady wearing a gas mask.
Oh.
But what I'm thinking of is it's not a hint to a game, it's a hint to a comic book series, because in the very bottom right-hand corner is a logo of Dark Horse.
Oh, right, okay.
So I think it's... Because they had Naughty Dog and Dark Horse published a mini-series called American Dreams, Last of Us, American Dreams. Very, very good book. But this could be the next, like, series.
Excellent. Okay.
Comic book series. Also, another little Easter egg that I've seen in that is from one of my most favouritest games ever.
Mm-hmm.
Monkey Island.
I never played Monkey Island. My little brother did, but I never did. I was kind of out at that point, getting drunk and stuff. But it looked great.
So basically, the Easter egg is another little spoiler from the games is you're hunting 12 pirates' treasures, mm-hmm. and they're all quite famous pirates, actually based in actual fact mm-hmm. here, but apart from one, and you can never remember that guy's name, but you know he's a mighty pirate that became a very successful swashbuckling pirate in the Caribbean that came from nowhere. Obviously, there are massive hints to Guybrush Threepwood. So whether Naughty Dog have sort of requisitioned the rights to use that, I don't know, but I know that the guy who actually developed Monkey Island, I can never remember his name.
No, it's gone.
Yeah, it's. I was literally just looking at it like 30 seconds ago. He tweeted just yesterday on the 23rd of May to Disney going, can I have my game back, please? Because you're not
really?
Using it. Yeah, because Disney, because I think Disney actually bought the rights to it.
Is that part because of when they bought
Lucasfilms?
It was a LucasArts game, wasn't it?
And they're not doing anything with it. Now, they managed, and it was just about after the Telltale games came out, they bought up the rights to Lucasfilms. So they're not doing anything with it. So he was like, can I have my game back, please?
So you've had a gaming month then.
It's fun. What about you, Claire?
I wish I had time like you to play computer. I didn't mean to say that, but I do wish I had time to just go back to Fallout 4 and play. Because there's an island in Fallout 4 that I discovered, cleared, and I was just about to own it. I was like, I'm going to build like a mansion on this island. I'm going to bring over settlers. I'm just going to live in this island for a while. And then I just lost time, and now I've just been working. I've just been watching films and TV shows. I finished Vikings. It's like halfway through season 4 now. I think the next half's going to be later in the year. Preacher, which I guess we could talk about later.
Yes, we'll talk about Preacher. Have you seen?
Haven't seen episode 1 yet. No.
Okay, we can't say too much.
No.
But yeah, and obviously these films, Apocalypse and Civil War, and I'm enjoying all the trailers coming out and looking ahead to Independence Day and Suicide, because it's coming closer. All these films are coming closer now. We're in the midst of blockbuster season, so this is exciting times for me.
What about you, Richard? How's your geeky month been?
I think the big thing's been the return of Game of Thrones.
Mm. Yes.
Which I haven't watched episode up to 5 yet, because I was out last night.
Oh!
So I'm sort of like just hiding from the internet.
I know
I'm being a real pain. This is my plan for tonight.
I can't speak about it because I will really spoil it for Rich, and I don't
Yeah, because they. Okay.
Oh, my friend texted me before I watched it yesterday. This is not giving anything away. And he just went, hold the door. Get back to me when you understand what that means. And I was like, oh my god! And then last night I was like, oh shit. So I'm not going to say anything.
That, yeah, I
kind of know it's big. That's been hinted enough. And I've had various things spoiled this season. I'm fairly clean on this episode.
Okay.
But,
we're not going to. I don't want to spoil this.
It was one of them ones where you just sort of just. I just meandered around the house for about 15 minutes going, I don't know what to do with myself now.
Yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. And that's all we can say, because
that's
literally
the thing is, we've all been there before with Game of Thrones.
It left me with the same feeling as the Red Wedding did.
Or Oberyn.
Mm.
Oh man, that was tragic.
Okay.
Oh, I loved him.
On today's show, obviously we'll be going over geeky news. We'll be doing some trailer trash. I had an interview with a writer and director of The Call Up. Mm-hmm. A very good science fiction film. And we'll just be geeking it up, I think, today.
Are we talking about our fantasy locations?
Yes, that's our Good, the Bad and the Ugly.
I actually couldn't think of any then. On the train the way here, I thought of like 5 or 6 all in one go. I was like, oh my god. So I'm really excited to talk about that. That's the highlight of the show for me at the end of the show. But yes, I'm really excited to talk about these films coming up next.
I know. And we'll be talking about Captain America Civil War and X-Men Apocalypse right off this.
The plastic eyeballs, spray paint the vegetables. cause one's got a weasel and other's got a flag. One's on the pole, shove the other in a bag. With the rerun shows and the cocaine knows ya, the daytime crap of the folk singer's club. He hung himself with a guitar string, a slab of turkey neck, and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. But get right if you can't relate. Trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. So
you're listening to Spoiler Alert with me, Adam Antium.
Me, Claire Lim.
Me, Richard Edwards.
So, basically, blockbuster season has started.
Yes.
We've had Captain America Civil War came out about a month ago now. Yeah. I was going to go see it. We were both going to go see it, not together.
Mm-hmm.
Straight after the recording of the last episode mm-hmm. we did.
So on opening night.
Yes, opening night.
Mm-hmm.
What did we think of Captain America Civil War? Because now it's been out and we've all seen it. Richard, you'd seen it before us, so you were sort of like going, yeah, I can't really say anything, but now we've all seen it. What do we all think of it?
Amazing.
Amazing. Loved it.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, it's a 5-star review I've given it, so yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good, and Rich is right. It is possibly one of my favourites so far. I think they've done well to adapt Civil War and make it their own. Obviously they couldn't like adapt it directly from Mark Miller's story, but they've taken the essence of it and they've introduced the characters really well as well. I thought I'm really excited about Black Panther. I didn't think I would be, but he looks brilliant.
But even better is Spider-Man.
Oh yeah, my god, yeah, I didn't even get to that. Spider-Man's entrance, like, I like the way that they introduce him.
Yeah,
forget the origin story. You've got Tony Stark kind of like hitting on his Aunt May.
Well, you know, they start together in Only You.
Oh yeah, okay.
So there is history there.
So they've got that little vibe. And then yeah, like, I quite like how he's an awkward teenager.
That's the thing that made it for me, that he's Tobey Maguire was too much of a caricature of the geek. Andrew Garfield
smarmy.
A little bit too cool. Yeah, and just too cool.
Yeah.
Whereas he's like a nerdy kid, and it's just that he's fanboying out the whole thing. You know, he's fighting alongside all these Avengers, like, wow, wow, wow.
And he's like, yeah, there's that one bit where it's like he's fighting, I think it was Black Panther or someone, and he's just coming out with all these little quips, and he goes, "Do you ever shut up?" He's like, "No, I'm too nervous."
I love it. I thought it was great. I thought it was really, really good. I thought Ant-Man and all the other characters that were in there in the big fight scene were great. They all had their time. And kind of liked the ending as well. It just came together. It crescendos in the middle, and then it kind of filters in again to just, you know, Iron Man and Captain America just having it out. And it doesn't have to be a huge apocalyptic like end credit end sort of action scene kind of thing. It's just about them, and that's enough, and the stakes are high enough because you love these characters so much.
I think that's the crucial thing with this, that because they've made like 13 movies now, they don't have to waste time establishing the characters. They're already there. They can give them all screen time. You know their motivations. Iron Man and Cap, both good, both bad. You know, you completely relate to both of them. So and when they are fighting at the end, it's completely justified in terms of the story, and you care about both. I mean, one thing you could just say about the Marvel movies is their villains aren't necessarily that great, but by making their heroes, who are great, into the villains, they've actually sort of had their cake and eaten it.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. But I thought it was a bloody excellent film. It was really well-rounded. My husband has always talked about my husband because I drag him to every single superhero film. I think he's sick of it now. And I refuse to go to the horror things with him. But he sat there and he was just like, right, take it all in. And at the end he went, yeah, that was actually quite good. Like, he really enjoyed it. And he doesn't know anything about Civil War at all. But that one he really enjoyed because the characters were great. And he's watched all of them, as you said, being developed over the years. But that's where they've got, you know, they've got that in their pocket. They've kind of built that up.
Well, they've earned it. You know, kind of shake it. And they were prepared to shake it up at the end with that ending. You know, Captain America now on the run and all that. So next movie is going to have to be different. So they're not resting on their laurels. And I kind of think it is a bit tired. It gets getting a bit tired now to compare it with Batman v Superman. But at the same time, you know, this did everything right that film didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of thinking now that DC are going down the wrong route trying to make their whole shared universe thing. Because, you know, Marvel have built this over, like, what, 7-8 years now. They've done the groundwork. Now, it might turn out that for DC, they're better making a load of really good standalone movies. So they make a really good Superman franchise, they make a really good Batman franchise, a really good Aquaman franchise. And that might be better than trying to sort of weave them all together.
I read there was a reshuffling at Warner.
Apparently so.
Apparently. Which doesn't surprise me. And I think that when the first trailer was released, a friend who works in the biz over in LA said that there was a massive reshuffling just over the first trailer of the guys in charge of that. But then they just sort of kept messing up. So I think I agree with you. I feel standalone movies are going to be stronger.
Yeah, I think Warner and DC, you know, if these rumours are true about reshuffling, it obviously shows that they are aware that, you know, things weren't quite right. And there's buzz coming out about Suicide Squad that people have seen early screenings and absolutely love it. I mean, that might not be true, but I mean, I really hope that film is good because, you know, the trailers look good and it looks like it's got potential to be a really good blockbuster. And I'm really hoping that Batman v Superman is the blip.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, I think with the news, I think we talked about this maybe last month, that Affleck is now writing a Batman film.
Yeah, and probably directing as well.
Yeah. I read somewhere that it is going to have a rogue gallery. There is going to be a lot of villains in this. And it's kind of, it's doing that thing again where it's like, let's just throw a load of stuff in there and see what sticks. But I think it's going to be a mess.
Well,
if they do it that way, because they've done it before with Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, where they have like two or three villains in the film, and it's kind of, it just doesn't work.
Well, it's not just Batman. I mean, there's Spider-Man 3.
Yes,
you know, they really threw the villains at that. What were the three main villains in that?
Sandman, Goblin.
Yeah, Goblin 2 and Venom.
Yeah,
and that really didn't work. No. So, I don't know. That, you know, hopefully they'll get it right. I mean, because they've got some really good characters there. You know, Batman and Superman are iconic. We've gone back to Batman v Superman again.
I know, bloody hell. It's because it was released so close. They were released so close together, so it's like light and dark. And so that's why there's that comparison. If there was like 6 months between them, it would have been slightly different. But let's move on
Before we move on, do you want to know the box office finals for
both films? It's not like surpassed a billion or something.
It's not quite finished yet. No, I mean,
they're still in the cinemas, but it's now pittering out for both these films. Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice is currently on $868 million.
Okay, and Civil War.
Civil War is on $942 million.
Yeah. I thought it had crossed the billion, actually.
Has it crossed the billion?
I think it might have,
I read that a few days ago, actually. Yeah.
So this is Wikipedia, so they've probably not updated it.
I think it's
Wikipedia, Adam, get off Wikipedia. But yeah, no, I think they have surpassed the billion, and With that out a shorter time than Batman v Superman,
it's a month behind.
I mean, they both made a lot of money, but obviously to studios, it's
I think Batman v Superman is, you know, that's a pretty decent haul. But when you think you're putting together Batman and Superman in a film, you would expect it to you know, be sort of close to one of the biggest. You'd want it to be one of the biggest superhero movies ever.
Yeah,
and you know. I think it's really suffered from word of mouth. You know, I think it had a really good opening weekend, really high, and it just went down because, you know, Civil War people are going to go and see again.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But let's go into Apocalypse.
Okay. I saw X-Men Apocalypse on Wednesday.
Last Friday.
And I wanted to like it. I really did.
I want to like every X-Men film, but for 16 years I've tried. I've tried. And I've tried again. Okay.
I mean, it wasn't bad. I sat there and
I'm getting ready to
sat there for 2.5 hours and I enjoyed some of it.
Right, let's start before we blast it.
Okay.
Let's start with what you think worked. Because I know what I think worked, so what do you think worked in this film?
The introduction of the new characters, the school.
No.
You're wrong. Okay.
Leave.
My favourite bit was the Quicksilver fight scene.
Quicksilver was amazing. Again,
that was kind of his film.
Yeah, well, he didn't have that much to do, but when he was in it, I mean, that sequence at the X Mansion is just beautiful. I mean, it's sweet dreams, isn't it?
I'll play that later. I get it. But yeah, I like Quicksilver, and I think that his scene in Days of Future Past, was great, but I think doing it again is just predictable. But it was also great. But I just feel like this is what films do. They end up regurgitating things because they know that it was a hit. And so when that happened, I was like, oh yeah, he's saving people thing again. And so I like the soundtrack, and I love the 80s, and I like Quicksilver. I think he's really good. Evan Peters is really good. But I just felt it was a bit, I don't know, it's been done before. Like, I don't know, it's been done before, and so I just didn't feel it was. It wasn't as exciting because, like, in amongst all that, you're like, oh look, Havoc's dead. Oh look, there's Quicksilver, and he's doing his thing again. It's like this. It was too garbled for me. I was like, oh. But anyway, what else did you think was worked? Sorry, I'm really depressing. I'm sorry. Go on. What else did you think worked?
What I thought worked again, probably. I don't know. The villain sort of didn't work for me.
No, me neither.
No. Very one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And also, I think someone who wants to destroy the world is a really difficult thing to fight because it's kind of all or nothing. You know, and you can't really get your head around it. It doesn't feel believable. Whereas someone who has a slightly more modest ambitions it often makes it a better villain.
I think there's two things I liked about this film, actually. Fassbender, when his daughter and his wife died.
Yes.
That seems quite poignant and quite powerful. And so, you know, you can kind of... And Fassbender's a very good actor. So even though he's saying absolute nonsense for the rest of the film, I'm like, yep, Fassbender, brilliant. Like, he's a very good actor. He just makes the films for me. Prometheus was a terrible film, it looked beautiful, but terrible. His scenes were always great for me. So that scene was very poignant, and the way in the background you're just seeing these policemen die and he's like holding his family. Then the next thing I was really kind of like skeptical about was the Wolverine cameo, but that worked really well because I liked the Weapon X Easter eggs everywhere, and you feel the ferocity and the full power and force of Wolverine. The first time that we've seen that in 16 years, where he's like, it's quite a violent scene. That the violent 10 minutes, and you actually feel it, and you're like, all right, Wolverine, that's what you're capable of. If you didn't read the comics, then you finally feel it. But apart from that, I felt everything was very, because you've got such a huge cast, everything else became very rushed. Psylocke's one of my favourite characters, but she looked great, but
she didn't have very much to do, did she?
No, she didn't. She looked
didn't say
amazing,
very much,
but
did she?
No, you don't know what her motivations are. She never says her name, Betsy Braddock. She never says anything.
I think that was a problem with all of the Four Horsemen except Magneto, actually.
Yeah,
they all sort of went with Apocalypse quite quite quickly and readily.
I wasn't sure about how he got on board, because with Storm he seemed to kind of like mind trick her in a way, but with the other ones he just kind of convinced them.
Hey, do you want to hang out?
Yeah, totally. I've got some sweet threads. We could all hang out and destroy the world together. Let's just do it.
Awesome.
Totally. Magneto's logic. He's really intelligent and powerful mutant, but he seems to turn.
He flip-flops, doesn't he?
He flip-flops a lot. But it became very much at the end. Again, the stakes aren't as high when, you know, you're like, oh, you're destroying the world. It looked like 2012 or The Day After Tomorrow with mutants. It just became, it's like, oh, yeah, stuff's being destroyed, yeah. You know, it really, and then you have the reveal at the end with Jean Grey's power, which hints to what Singer's been saying about taking them into space.
Yeah.
Maybe the Dark Phoenix saga will be explored. But I just, I think there's too many characters to explore in depth there. Too rushed for me.
I thought it was quite a meandering film, though. Mm. It's kind of, I was sitting there for the first hour just like, oh, come on, get going. Because it just kind of jumps around all these different sort of characters that don't seem connected. And it didn't ever seem to have a proper sort of narrative through line. Mm. You know, whereas what I loved about Days of Future Past, which could have done with a little bit more humour, which First Class had, and this one didn't have the humour, but also Days of Future Past had this real sort of race against time element to it, because they had to save themselves in the future. They had to get it all done in the past to sort the future. This just didn't have that. It was basically, oh, Apocalypse is going to do something, and it, you know, I just never really felt there was any excitement or drive, except, you know, Quicksilver in the X-Mansion. That was awesome. That was a great sequence. I thought that the final sequence was okay as sort of big sort of city smashing endings go, but it just didn't grab me. And there is also something else that's really bugging me about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is 20 years after First Class, which featured Havoc quite strongly, who hasn't aged a bit, and his brother is Scott Summers, who they look very close in age, yet 20 years is back. What's going on?
I was thinking that even from maybe the 10 years between the Days of Future Past and then, because I was like, they all still look fairly the same.
I mean,
same.
10 years you can kind of buy it, but 20?
20, that's true. I should have never thought of that.
Havoc must be like 43. He's not.
Totally. Looking good, Havoc. But yeah, there's a lot of things. It just, I think you're right about the narrative. It just was like, very meh. It just didn't really come together cohesively. I think out of that trilogy of the newer films, First Class, directed by Matthew Vaughn, although I wasn't a fan, it felt different, lighter. It was a wee bit Austin Powersy for me with mutants. But
I really like that.
I know, like, people love, and I think that the tone being different was fun. I mean, it's fair enough. Then that Days of Future Past, good. But I think Bryan Singer just needs to pass it on now. Just pass on the films. I want to see a new director. I want to see something different.
He's done four of them now, hasn't he? So
He's done quite a fair few.
Did he do one and two?
He did one and two, and he's done two and three of the new one. I did think Sophie Turner was very good as Jean Grey. Actually, I quite liked New Cyclops as well.
I liked the new cast.
Yeah, I think the cat, like, when we came out of it, again, like, my husband's always the barometer of, like, did you enjoy that? And he was like, yeah, he enjoyed the fact there was a new cast, and I agreed with him. I think that people will like that in general. Mm. We're not going to see the older characters so much anymore, hopefully, although I don't mind the older characters, but it's good to refresh things. I think that where Jean Grey's arc went at the end, where she got stronger, was good. But she was a bit kind of like whatever at the beginning. Cyclops, I just don't like in the comics, so I was just watching with him. No, he's just boring. Like, even on screen, I was like, oh, you're so boring. Like, I just don't like him as a character. Like, I don't like him.
It was pretty cool to just give the proper costumes.
Yes.
The comic costumes.
At the end, when you see, like, a Nightcrawler with the red thing, and you got Mystique with her white sort of outfit, the white panel at the front. I think that's cool. I mean, there's elements that are, they're all right, but I don't know where they're going to go from here. Yeah. Like, they will have to take it.
The thing that bugged me most about this film, and I think I said this to you, Richard, was the fact that it was mutants versus mutants. There was, like, obviously before, where in First Class it was mutants versus mutants, but it kind of had that element of, like, there was that segregation between them, what the X-Men is all about.
And they were saving the world that didn't think they wanted saving.
Yeah. But this one, it's kind of, it's just a mutant versus a mutant, and there's no... Why bother saving the world?
And, like, the Weapon X thing comes out of nowhere, because, like, well, if you knew where the mansion was, you could have just, like, flown to the mansion and shot them down with your, like, weird beam thing at any point and taken them. But it's like, I don't know, why did they appear there? I don't know, there's There's just too many. It was just one of those films by numbers for me, and this might be a strong statement, but this film and this new trilogy of films is the new The Last Stand for me. It's nonsense.
Mm-hmm. It did make quite a few of the same mistakes, I thought.
It did, and it felt a wee bit like The Last Stand in its sort of pacing and its feel. But having said that, like, I love the X-Men so much, like, I'm going to keep persisting.
Did you stick around till the end of the credits?
Yes.
No, I didn't, but I read about them. Sinister, eh?
Looks like.
Yeah.
See, but Essex. Then I think it'd be better not to have Sinister as the main bad guy, but to kind of bleed him out in other films. Maybe appear in Wolverine 3.
Mm.
And maybe he's like a benevolent bad guy that kind of comes round at some point. Because I think.
Well, this could be a setup for Wolverine 3 because, you know, if at the end of The Wolverine they set up Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the Wolverine 2 or what is it? It's going to be an old man Logan thing, isn't it? So.
Yep. And I think it's R-rated. Is it R-rated?
Yeah. Yep. And apparently it was planned to be that before Deadpool. Sort of break records, so that's what they're saying.
Oh,
one more thing that bugged me about this film.
Okay.
It might be very minor to me, but my friend picked up on it.
Okay.
And I went, oh shit, yeah, whatever happened to that? End of Days of Future Past,
mm-hmm.
Logan's been thrown into the lake. Stryker pulls him out, but then does the eye reveal of, actually, it's Mystique. Well, he's in Weapon X. What the fuck happened? What happened there?
See, this...
Where was the link? Like, so Mystique pulled him out of the river, but then yet he still ended up in Weapon X.
See, this... I read this online.
Go on.
I was just going to say,
I wish that people would watch their films before they make another one.
We'll leave it at that, then. We will leave it at that.
No, because
I'm exactly the same. It's just like, you know fans are watching closely.
Yep.
I'm going to pick it apart, so you need to know your shit when you're making the next film. Like what you said, just echo what you said, Rich. I mean, it's fine. Like, I'm glad we went to cinema to see it, you know, but again, it just reminded me of 2012 and The Day After Tomorrow and all those kind of like disaster movies, but with like mutants in the middle of it.
Yeah. I never once felt caught up in it.
Yeah,
you know,
same.
That was the sad thing about it. And, you know, I really like... I like X-Men movies generally, and I was just a little bit disappointed, but you know, it was just maybe they tried to do too much.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, it kind of speaks volumes when I actually said, do you know what, I can probably nip out and go to the loo.
Yeah. I went to the loo a few times. Whereas the Civil War, I was like, I don't care.
No,
like,
that's it.
I'm just going to camel this all the way through. And
Deadpool
like,
did not move an inch.
Same here. But I was reading something online which was interesting. It was like a comparison of Civil War to Apocalypse, and in this article they were basically going, well, you know, again, the stakes aren't as high. You've got this bad guy going, I want to destroy the world, right? And that's all he ever said. Oscar Isaac's a great actor, but he was a bit lost under all the blue paint and the stupid costume. And then you get Civil War, where the last scenes contained was what I said earlier, and it's just between your two favourite characters, these two guys battling out, whereas there's just too much, you know, you're just looking at it going, I don't care anymore, who cares?
I thought Oscar Isaac was quite wasted, actually.
Yeah, he was
a good actor, and it just, you couldn't tell it was him, and he was almost like, I don't know, sort of a sort of 30s sort of, he's almost Bela Lugosi-ing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And you've got like the kind of Four Horsemen beginning to resemble like a sort of bad 80s band.
Yeah.
At some point, I was just like, well, why do they look like this? They look ridiculous.
And then Storm spending the whole of the last battle just looking like...
Yeah, like, oh, I'm having an epiphany moment, but I'm going to take my time. People are dying, but I'm going to take my time.
Yeah, yeah, I don't want to rush it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, there's Mystique, I really like her, but wait a minute, I just need to think more about this. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, yeah, Mystique, I've admired my whole life. But Apocalypse gave me some cool clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Gave me a good haircut. Yeah. So at the end of the day, like, why not? And she was a kind of like street urchin in Cairo. So I don't know.
That's kind of her backstory, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
she was like some kind of strange little street urchin. Mm. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, hi, strange man in hood.
Who puts men in walls.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I think I'm down with that. Come in for a cup of tea and we'll talk about the end of the world. It's just a bit, it was a bit ridiculous, but if you're going to go see any film and you haven't seen these two yet, I'd say Civil War.
Oh, definitely.
1,000%.
I mean, yeah, put it to the top of your list of films. Yeah, yeah. It's just awesome.
And you can wait for the box, the Blu-rays of X-Men Apocalypse.
I think Deadpool and Civil War in terms of the superhero films this year, they've upped the stakes so high, it's going to be quite difficult for anything to compete, apart from maybe Suicide Squad, which isn't really a superhero
yeah,
film.
Yeah, I really hope Suicide... Yeah, I think Suicide Squad's got so much potential and it's got a good cast. And, mm-hmm. you know, I really hope it's good. I really do.
Right, so we're going to be delving into some geeky news off the back of this. You're still listening to Spoiler Alert on FUBAR Radio with me, Adam Johnson.
Me, Claire Lim.
Me, Richard Edwards.
So we're now going to be delving into some geeky news.
Geek news. Geek news.
News reporter time.
Very professional.
Thor Ragnarok, the cast has been announced.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
What are we thinking of the cast? We've got, who have we got?
Jeff Goldblum.
Well, Chris Hemsworth, of course.
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, and Tom Hiddleston's back as Loki as well.
Yes. And then we've got Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum
as
Kate Blanchett.
The Grandmaster. We've got Carl Urban as the Executioner.
A Scourge or something? Is it the Executioner?
They've already had Scourge, haven't they? Wasn't he in the last. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah. I can't remember what he is.
I think.
You've got your notes. You've got your Superman notes there.
And then we've got Kate Blanchett as Hela.
Yes.
I'm really excited.
And the concept art looked phenomenal.
And Mark Ruffalo, I think, is back.
Yeah, well, that's been known for quite a long time, I think, that he was going to be the Hulk. And there is actually a reference in Civil War where someone asks about Banner and Thor, and I think it's Black Widow says, oh, yeah, they're off somewhere, we don't know where are. So I'm assuming that this is happening concurrently with the events of Civil War.
Doesn't Ross refer to them as nukes? Because they are basically like nukes. Like, the thing is, though, if you had... Civil War would have been a pretty different film if Thor and the Hulk were in it.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
That airport would not still be standing at
no,
all.
No, not at all.
Anyway, it would have sort of. They'd have to have been on different sides.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm quite looking forward to. I mean, the Thor films for me have been like patchy. I mean, I've enjoyed them all. I mean, I like all the Marvel films generally, but I thought the last one wasn't great. The Dark, what's it called again?
Dark World.
Dark World.
I think that was the weakest of Phase 2. I didn't like that one particularly. But.
Yeah, I kind of felt that was a bit like, ugh. But I am very much looking forward to... I mean, I love Jeff Goldblum. I think Kate Blanchett's going to do a great job as Marvel's first ever female villain.
Yes, well, there's some controversy about that.
Yeah, I could bring it this... Because obviously in... Iron Man 3,
which was Shane Black who directed it.
Yeah, they was going to have a female villain... playing, I can't forget the villain's name.
Oh, it's Alden Killian.
Yeah.
And they were going to do a big reveal, everyone assuming that he was a guy, and oh, actually, it's a woman.
Right.
But then they swapped it at the very, not very end, but they swapped it quite.
Yeah, quite rewrites because they thought that a female villain wouldn't sell as many action figures, apparently. Now,
and so I thought that nonsense.
Silly. Yeah, well, yes, the fact that it's happened, it's good that it's probably been brought to light. Because there was that thing about. With all the toys on Star Wars, where there weren't enough Rey toys.
Yeah, there's been a lot of controversy over the like selling of toys that are female and all these kind of things. It's really dumb, to be honest with you. When I was younger, I had my Thundercats toys, and I loved Chitara just as much as I loved Tigra or Panther or whatever. And it didn't really matter because you just want the set.
Well, I hope that stuff like this coming out will actually just wake people up.
Yeah,
You know, you have to hope that people were just sleepwalking. I mean, it's a ridiculous idea, and that hopefully now the people have drawn attention to it, and hopefully it can all get fixed.
Yeah.
And you know, having Kate Blanchett as villain, that's a really good start.
She'll make a good villain.
She's just a good actor, that's
the
thing.
She's great. She's really, really great. And I'm really looking forward to this next film. I don't want to, get too excited about it now, but this next Thor film might be my favourite, just because I like the cast so much, and I love Carl Urban, and I'm glad he's in the kind of like fantastical movie again kind of thing. I loved Dredd. I thought he was great.
Oh, he just loves sci-fi and fantasy, doesn't he? Can't get enough of it.
I love it, and he's always happy to talk about it as well. I love reading his entries because he just seems like a genuine fan. And it's a shame that Dredd never got a sequel and everything, but I'm glad to. I want to see him back. He's in Star Trek, isn't he? As Bones. And I think he does a good job. So yeah, I'm excited about this. Good casting, I say. Quality casting.
I can't wait. The next thing on the docket. Should we call it the docket? I don't know.
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah,
if you want.
The Star Trek TV series teaser. Now, nothing really actually got announced, did it? There was a teaser, and that's about it. There's
some
an
graphics.
Image, and that's it.
Yes, well, we knew it was happening. I mean, they're getting it starts in January, I think, and it's going to be on CBS's sort of
streaming service.
It's their equivalent of iPlayer, I guess.
Yeah,
which is interesting. The first one will be on TV, and it's being showrun by Brian Fuller, who did Pushing Daisies. He's doing American Gods. Hannibal as well. So
yeah, Hannibal was great.
And also worked on Star Trek, like Voyager and I think Deep Space Nine.
I mean, my immediate reaction as a Star Trek fan was to go, ugh, even though I wasn't seeing anything, I don't know why. I think I was just going, oh, no, bad. I watched Star Trek Next Generation reruns over the weekend just while I was writing and doing things that was in the background. It's so ridiculous and kitsch and everything. But they've got a lot of... there's not much that's been released about where they're going with this. I haven't read anything about the story. It could be about Starfleet. I would like to see something maybe in that after First Contact. That would be quite good. Maybe that kind of like gap between then and then, the Federation and everything starting. So
I think it's going to be after The Undiscovered Country. Is the current thinking. So, because Brian Fuller has said that teaser does feature a few clues.
Oh, okay.
And there is actually a planet in it that's got a hole in its side.
Okay.
And that's very much like Praxis, which is the Klingon moon that blows up at the beginning of Star Trek VI and basically leads to the whole stuff there. And Nicholas Meyer, who was the director of Wrath of Khan mm-hmm. and Star Trek VI, and is on board as a consultant, has hinted very strongly that it might be that period. But it's there's other rumours that are out there that it's going to be like Fargo, so it's like an anthology show. So you have a sort of self-contained series mm-hmm. and then another self-contained series that could be at another point in the Star Trek universe.
I like that idea.
I think it sounds great.
I prefer that idea because then you can play with it and you can change up the cast.
And it just expands that whole universe like 1,000 times.
Exactly. If you really like the new set of films, then you can go and watch the new set of films and you're in that timeline and that's fine, but... Yeah, I quite like that idea.
So the because I've not really read that much about it as well. So this series is not following on at all from the new films.
No, that's going to stay in its own continuity mm-hmm. on that timeline. Apparently, that's the rumor very strongly, and I think it's going to be really interesting what they do with this because it's over. I mean, it's 10 years since Enterprise finished.
Thank God.
that was very much TV from a different era. You know, it was very episodic. I mean, there were sort of through stories, mm-hmm. but now TV's kind of developed, and people are telling serialized stuff. And to actually do that with Star Trek would actually be, I think, really cool. Mm-hmm. People who get it. One thing that does bug me about this trailer, I really didn't like the logo.
Yeah.
It was over fussy. It's interesting, obviously, that it's meant to be a bit dirty, so I don't know if there's something going to be a little bit grubby.
But it kind of looks like, I'm just looking at an image now, it kind of looks like, you know, when they're actually teleporting, you know, the little sort of hatchet beams. It kind of looks like that. So
I wasn't keen on the logo either. I agree with Rich. I'm quite excited about the fact that there might be a different story for each season. I do love Star Trek to bits, but I'm not really into the new films so much. But you know, we'll see. I'm going to watch them definitely when this comes on TV next year. I'll be excited to watch the first few episodes.
It'd be interesting to see where we can watch it because obviously it's going to be on CBS.
Oh, someone's going to pick it up.
Yeah,
it'll be somewhere. We'll be able to see it somewhere.
Because I was very surprised. We spoke about it at the top of the show. Preacher, is on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that's not been picked up by AMC UK. I was so surprised by that.
Oh,
I was
never try to analyse too much the vagaries of TV rights and stuff.
No, it's kind of. But you just think that. But I like it's on Amazon, so I now can watch it on my phone.
Did you watch it on your phone last
night? Yeah, I watched it on my phone on the trip home.
And the trip home?
Yeah.
Well, you can download it now on Amazon Prime, can't you?
Of course.
I love Amazon Prime.
I like watching things on. I watched on Amazon Prime as well, but I like watching it on the TV with a cup of tea in my Batman pyjamas. That's like the way that I watch TV. That's how I want to watch it.
Although it is kind of bad that I'm watching that. I watched that and I also am rewatching The Walking Dead on my phone. And I have sometimes seen like people looking over my shoulder at what I'm watching. And it's like a really graphic bit of like zombies eating someone's throats. And I'm like, yeah, I'm watching this.
Yeah, I was on a plane last year. I watched The Wolf of Wall Street, and I thought, I'll get the loo, and I left it paused. Oh, it's really graphic. So I came back and like, ooh.
Oh, no. But I thought Preacher was all right.
Yeah.
It was okay. It's not great.
We'll see where it goes.
We shall see where it goes. I've never read the comics, but my husband has, and he was like, he wasn't really that bothered. But yeah, we'll see. What's next on the docket?
So now this is it could be a teaser, or it could be real. I don't know. There's no name for the next Star Wars film.
Well, seemingly, it's not seemingly confirmed, right?
No.
Fall of the Resistance. Sounds very Star Wars-y.
It's basically someone could have got a random Star Wars title generator.
Yeah.
And they could have come up with this.
Yeah. If it's true, it implies, obviously, that the next film... we're going to see some of our favourite characters from The Force Awakens in a spot of trouble.
And it feels like an Empire Strikes Back sort of. Ooh,
yeah, that's
not
what,
so good
I, that's
for the
what I was thinking.
I don't know. I mean, the source of this is someone's apparently seen some stuff that's being get ready for the Star Wars Celebration, which takes place in London in July. It's been snapped, though. It would be the easiest thing in the world to fake, you know. You wouldn't even need decent Photoshop skills to do it.
So, I mean, it's
a really plausible title, but you know, even if it was Disney, could might just say, we'll change it. Who knows?
What else could we change the title to? Revenge of the Ewoks.
Revenge of the Ewoks.
Wrath of the Ewoks.
Wrath of the Ewoks. No, I do love the Ewoks, just because it was like right in that time zone of Ewoksdom. I watched, even watched the cartoon when I was younger. The Ewoks cartoon was really shit, but like when I look back at it, like I enjoyed it.
They could call it One Fin Day.
One Fin Day.
One Fin Day.
One Fin Day.
They could look around you. There's so many.
Look around you. Right. Okay. So we're gonna. I'm putting a call out to Lucasfilm Disney to employ Rich. as a pun generator for Star Wars. I would love them to just play with it, like just kind of whatever.
Or you can have a crossover, you can have the X-Wing men.
The X-Wing men. I like that. What was it you said earlier? We were the, or I was the X. What was it again, like?
Oh, I can't remember that long ago.
I can't remember.
Oh, it was only about 15 minutes ago.
living in the now.
I'm living in the now, not in the past.
But have you seen these sets, the pictures from the set?
Yes,
it's being filmed in Ireland.
Yeah,
right,
there's a couple of images of the Millennium Falcon. And
yeah, and also the cast arriving. I thought it was really funny because you saw Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley being sort of, you know, doing the star through the airport with the hats. And,
and
Mark Hamill going, "Yeah, hello everyone, I'm here in Ireland."
I love him.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
I actually love him. I just want to like jump on his back and just like walk around. He's just awesome. But I love how enthusiastic he is about all of the projects he does. He loves it.
And I'm assuming that he's really excited about episode 8 because he's going to do something.
Yes.
He might actually get to say some words.
Yes. Because I was reading that in Ireland they're seemingly filming like the Knights of Ren, something like that. There's some kind of sequence they're filming with the Knights of Ren. And they've shipped in this kind of ship. And things, and it's burning. Anyway, I was just reading about an onlooker or someone kind of like sort of spies from the set kind of thing. So who knows? But Luke is obviously involved in that scene.
It seems incredibly plausible that Luke and Kylo Ren are going to have to meet.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh yes,
the former apprentice who it's not a spoiler anymore, is it?
No,
killed his best friend. You know.
Yeah, they're going to have to meet.
I mean,
and I'm hoping that Luke doesn't meet a grisly end, but perhaps, you know, like all good fairy tales, that these things repeat themselves.
If he does, let's put it this way, Carrie Fisher's going to be bricking it for the third one.
Yeah, no, totally. Did I mention I love you, by the way, Ben? I love you, love you. I'm your mum. But yeah, like, I'm looking forward to that Star Wars 8. Like, who knows what the title's going to be, but I think Fall of the Resistance sounds quite apt.
Rise of the First Order.
Rise of the First Order. I don't know, I kind of like, I like Look Around You. That's my favourite. Star Wars 8, Look Around.
In the First Order.
But what is in this month's SFX magazine,
yes,
Richard?
Tell us.
There is so much stuff in this month's SFX.
Who's on the front cover? Mine just came through the door, but I haven't looked at it yet. Doctor Strange.
Oh. So, yeah, we've got a lot. So basically looking at the comics, history of this character, and what to expect from the movie.
Great.
BFG's out in July, so we rolled Dahl in fantasy.
Looks good.
I think it looks really good.
Yeah, I love the BFG.
I mean, the book, Roald Dahl, was such a big thing for me when I was a kid, and it was one of my favourite books, and it looks how I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen it yet, but there's a buzz around it. It's quite good, so I'm quite excited. Spielberg and Roald Dahl feels like a really good match.
Yes.
And bizarrely, we have a kind of exorcism vibe here. It just so happens that there's a lot of exorcism stuff around at the moment. So there's The Conjuring 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which is doing the Enfield Haunting, which Sky did the thing about a couple of years ago. Outcast, which is the adaptation of the Robert Kirkman novel with Philip Dennister. And The Living and the Dead, which is a new BBC thing with Colin Morgan from Merlin. So there's a lot of sort of spooky exorcism stuff.
So we've got Doctor Strange, bit of magic. Then we've got all the exorcism stuff, bit of death come alive. And what else is in the magazine?
Oh, and well, we've got Alexandra Shipp, who is the new Storm.
Of course.
Talking about being the new, well, taking over from Halle Berry. On Brent Spiner, who is back bizarrely in Independence Day Resurgence. We all assumed his character was dead, but it turns out no.
What's his name again in Independence Day? It's Dr. something Oakham or Oaken or something like that.
Good memory. I always just thought, why is Data gone? It turned into a hippie.
I just love Independence Day.
Brackish Ocken.
Brackish Ocken, there you go. Cool. Almost got it. Halfway there. But look at that. He looks amazing.
Yeah. I think he had to age up before, or sort of. Now he's just like,
He's like, yeah, I am now what I am. I love him. I actually love Data and Star Trek as well. So
it's a really good interview, that.
I'm looking forward to reading that. And so when is it out?
It's on sale. Well, it's on sale now.
Great.
Oh, do you know what? I want to pick it up. Adam, remind yourself, if you haven't picked it up at the airport, do it now.
Yeah.
Go. Okay.
Although you'll be there already, right?
I'll be there already. So
if you haven't, then bad Adam.
But that's fine, because even when you're in Canada, you could download it from your iPad.
From your iPad, yes.
Oh, that was smooth, Rich. Well done.
Okay, right. Cool. So after this next track, I will be speaking to Charles Barker, the writer and director of an amazing science fiction film called The Call-Up, which I watched, and he came in last week and spoke to me. So we'll be back with him right after this.
Not a choice.
That's right, you're listening to Spoiler Alert with me, Adamantium. And now I am joined in the studio by film writer, director, Charles Barker. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
That's no worries. So you're coming in here today to talk to us about The Call-Up. Can you tell us about The Call-Up?
Yes, it's a genre film where some gamers are invited to a building, an empty building in New York. It's an anonymous invite, and they're invited to try some state-of-the-art gaming equipment. And they put it on, and to begin with, they're rendered into this amazing photorealist gaming environment.
It looks spectacular.
And it just seems like a gamer's dream. It absolutely seems like a gamer's dream. And then what they discover is that when they get hit, it's all fun and games shooting the charging soldiers towards you. But when they get hit, they feel real pain, and the stakes are soon raised to lethal.
Oh, yes. This is your first feature film.
Yes.
You've written and directed yourself.
Yes.
You mainly come from shorts. What was your background before
commercials?
Commercials.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, commercials are such a different discipline, because you have so much money compared to a feature like this. I think what I had on some commercials, in one day was maybe a third of the budget for the whole of this shoot.
Oh, wow.
So you really have to cut your cloth accordingly. But, what commercials do allow you to do is be a perfectionist.
Mm.
I mean, you can kind of demand and have a hissy fit about anything, and you can really create perfect images.
Yeah.
And that discipline was really useful when moving up to do a first feature, because I really wanted it to feel like a blockbuster and be as slick as a blockbuster.
Yeah. Would you find it's the sort of, as well, when you're doing commercials, that the brand sort of have a lot of input, and they sort of come in and they go, well, actually, can we have it this way or can we have it that way? But when you're doing your own thing and your own feature, you kind of take that on board and go, well, actually, this is my little project, this is my baby.
I wish it was the case, but I think there's always a meeting between what's your passions and what's your style and what is commercially viable. So actually, at the inception of writing the screenplay, I wrote something, and maybe my commercial background helped in this respect, was I wrote something that I thought could get international sales.
Mm.
So, for example, I set it in America, not in the UK, because I was told I'd get better international sales because of that. And I realised that, setting it in a building, for example, I only had to hire one floor and then redress it over and over again. And then you've got the sense of they're going down a whole building. So you get a great sense of scale for a very small budget. So, we dressed all of the real world and set and made the whole real world set. And we shot all of that first. And then we redressed it, and then we came back and shot all the game world stuff. And as you see, there's a visor that comes up and down.
Yeah.
And so it's a very fragmented shoot. It was very much of a puzzle in terms of the way I went around about shooting. I had a fantastic editor to help me with that, Tommy Balding, and it was a joy. It's the sort of thing I really like. That sort of understanding of how to be visual on a low budget was very useful. And I came very much from a visual starting point with the idea in some ways, because I thought, well, you could do, because I was thinking about the constraints of how you can make something really epic on a small budget.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's a really kind of, that'd be a lot of fun and visually interesting. And also you would get a lot of, bang for your bucks. It would look a much, much bigger budget thing than it actually is.
Where did the idea for the call-up come from? Like having a video game made reality very real.
Yeah.
Where did the basis of that idea come from?
I was sort of thinking about it way before, a little bit before VR really took off. So I had this, I started writing this screenplay maybe 5 years ago. I mean, things take that long. And then about a year after that, I won the BritList, which was the most liked screenplay within the British film industry, and that helped a lot to push it forward. The idea, your question was
where did the idea come from?
Well, the idea came from I just actually, as well as film, I love gaming, and I think most I love shooting ups. I don't play them as much as I don't have much time anymore, but that was the game I liked. And when you've been playing a Call of Duty for 6 hours, you get this kind of sense of invincibility that you would in reality be this super soldier charging through buildings, taking out all comers. If it was for real, you'd be an epic super soldier. So I kind of really enjoyed the idea of course, that's kind of just not true. In reality, once the stakes were raised to lethal, you'd be rocking back and forth in a corner, crying for it to stop. and I kind of like that. I hope that lots of other gamers like me would kind of get a sense of fun out of that disconnect.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's sort of how I perceived it as well. Because I play video games avidly. I love shoot 'em ups, action adventure games. So you do sort of get so immersed in these little worlds that you think, do you know what? If I was actually put in this situation, I think I'd be great at it. But in actual reality, you probably just suck. You would be in a ball crying, going, I want my mum.
Yes, that exactly. and so we had these different characters, so you can get a sense of, there is actually a super soldier who's awesome and trained. and there's a sort of a, you know, a whole spectrum of different character types, and so you get a sense of how different people would behave in this situation.
So would, going back to the virtual reality, you said you didn't know how massive that would take off. Was that sort of in your mind of how to put these people together in this virtual reality world? Was that sort of an how would you describe that influence?
I think it was going to take off, but I didn't know how huge it was going to be. I just, what I'm interested in is when I was researching it, even back then, I just wanted to be as real as possible. So I did an enormous amount of research into how this tech. I've had people make comments on notice boards thinking that the trailer is actually for a real experience, so which was the most flattering thing, because you get a sense that it's really future now, that this could be something that, you know, a couple of years could happen when all the glitches have been ironed out. I've tried them out. I've tried them out. That's what I was talking about, the glitches. There isn't the game that's made that the console come alive yet. You need that piece of content that, you know, maybe it's Halo for the Xbox, or who knows what it will be, but there hasn't been that that game yet, from my experience of trying out virtual reality, that made me go, wow, this is completely changed everything. But when that happens, I really think it will change everything. It will be as big as the birth of cinema. Yeah. It'll be like the train coming, you know, when the Lumiere brothers filmed the train, everybody ran away screaming from the cinema. It's so immersive from my experience of trying it, that once you combine that with a great journey and a great story and great gameplay, it will be incredible.
So what, you say you don't get a chance to play video games anymore. Shoot 'em ups are your favourite ones. What is your ultimate favourite shoot 'em up game?
I do like them all. I like shoot 'em ups, but I also love story in games. So my favourite game is actually The Last of Us. I mean, that's my absolute favourite, because it's a great combination of gameplay and a wonderfully immersive story.
So do you think that cinema and video games are going to start merging more towards each other? You have, at the moment, you've got World of Warcraft coming out in the cinemas, and you've got Assassin's Creed coming out, both video games that are moving onto the big screen. But now you're also seeing video games that have that very cinematic feel. Like you just mentioned, The Last of Us, you've got Uncharted. So many games have these sort of big blockbuster sort of feels to them. Do you think that the two medias are going to start merging towards each other?
I think, again, it's all about design, because there are lots of games that try to do this and with sort of mixed success. And the ones you've mentioned, like The Last of Us and Uncharted 4, I couldn't help but play a bit. It's just so good. Are really good examples of that. Really great balance between story and playability. So and when that works, it's magic. When you've got a great story and you've got great gameplay in there, and the balance is right, and it's got a plotting of an HBO TV series, it is the best for me. It's fantastic. But it's just, you know, the world's full of taste. Different people have different tastes. I really think there is some real magic in the combination of film and cinema. And I think a great relationship between the two. Some people really like them to be very separate. My taste is there's a fantastic opportunity for people who like both mediums to see a hybrid, which is a combination of the best of both.
Yeah, and I think with the introduction of virtual reality and like the Oculus Rift, we are going to start seeing a lot more of a combination using these Oculus Rifts as sort of the focal point. So you will be playing a video game, but it'll also be a cinematic experience just while you're in with this other device.
It's incredible. Have you tried any?
I haven't tried an Oculus Rift. I haven't tried
any of the virtual reality.
No, I haven't, and I really want to.
It is going to be amazing. Yeah, there just hasn't been the investment on that breakthrough game yet, or that great. I don't know if it will be a game. It'll be an experience. Mm. I agree. The piece of content which will launch virtual reality will be a combination of story, immersive story, and gameplay, and it will be have its own unique vocabulary. And I've seen sort of this vocabulary being developed at the moment, and the games, you know, these little test things I've seen, and yeah, you can see this amazingly rich opportunity. And also, there is a caution to it, because it's so immersive, you know.
Yeah.
It's so overwhelmingly immersive and powerful. It's going to make reality look a bit dull.
It will do. So the call up is out in cinemas on Friday, the 20th of May. Where is it in? Like, is it a national release? Is it like a selected cinemas?
It's selective cinemas. It's with a smaller budget. Our movie is a smaller, you know, just over $1 million. So it has, you know, I feel punches way above its weight. But we'd have to spend a huge amount on marketing to get it to have a national release. So what we've done is we're doing a limited release in cinemas, and it's a couple of days later it's going to be out on demand and DVD. But it's if you go to our screen, then is it rscreen.com? You can find all of rscreen.com. You can find all the information. So you just search for The Call Up, and you can see where the cinema's playing. I mean, the film's playing.
Yeah. And there's one more thing I want to ask you. Now, this is in your press release.
Yep.
And I don't know if you can talk about it or not. But
is it a spoiler then?
No, it's not a spoiler. It just says that you are working with the game industry and working with Sony on a new PS4 game. Now, can you tell us anything about that?
I think that it's so embryonic that I can't know. No, I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. These things, you know, it's great to be invited to work on these projects. But the interesting thing about, let's say, a game is it's like $100 million spend to bring a blockbuster game to fruition. So lots of these things start the process of being developed, but not all of them make it through to the finishing line. So it's best to I'll come back.
Yeah.
If it goes somewhere, I'll definitely come back and tell you all about it. Yeah.
So the call out is your first feature project. Have you got anything else coming up? Have you got any more ideas for what you want to do next? I mean, because obviously it's a brilliant piece of science fiction. It's a brilliant science fiction film. Absolutely loved it. But what's the next? Is it science fiction something you're going to continue with, or are you going to try another genre?
I love science fiction. Yeah, I think it's kind of, and I like grounded science fiction. So it's kind of that sense of, oh, is that possible? So I have two science fictions that I've written that I would love to direct next.
Yeah.
we'll see. It's kind of a long process. So
how long is that process from you writing a script, or having the initial idea of a script, and then you sort of script it out? Then do you go to, you must go to like different
that's the thing about film, really. There's no formula. Things could happen quite quickly. Things can take years. There's absolutely no recipe for it. So I think the thing is, you just have to sort of like shut yourself away and write it, and actually believe that what you're writing isn't futile. It's going to get made. You know, with the call up, it took 4 years, so it can take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully my next one will be much quicker.
Well, thank you very much, Charles, for coming in. It was an absolute pleasure to watch.
Thank you very much.
You can, like you said, where can you see it again?
rscreen.com. If you go there, search for The Call Up, it'll have a list of cinemas that you can check it out.
And then it will be released on DVD.
On demand.
Brilliant.
On the 23rd of May.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Yep,
well, thank you very much for coming in. We'll be back straight after this.
Spoiler alert on FUBAR Radio.
And now it's time for one of my most favourite parts of the show. It's time for Trailer Trash.
Yay! I think we need the kind of like more. I obviously love this jingle, but I think we need a really kind of like trailer trash, like, I don't know, like a kind of WWE kind of like, I don't know, like someone kind of like screaming or something. We need kind of
some, like redneck.
We need like, and like someone throwing things in the bin or
I'm
something.
Sure we can find one.
I'm sure we can find one in food.
I mean, you stay over there if you might have
a couple. But anyway. Trailer trash, great, where we get to be, you know, cynical and grumpy again.
Yes.
Or I do. You guys are so nice and positive.
I'm going to worry a bit we're grumpy today.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, what have we got? Oh,
so,
okay.
Right,
go on.
On our list, we are... Okay. Assassin's Creed trailer came out this month. I love the Assassin's Creed video games. I like... I'm obsessed with them.
I only tried to play it once a few years back and wasn't into it, but I think they look amazing. I think the game... I love watching people play the games. I just don't like playing the game.
Yeah.
But what do you from a fan point of view, because again, computer game movies, Super Mario Brothers, are famously not really, they don't translate
I think you can go way beyond Super Mario Brothers. They're just generally just Street Fighter.
Mortal Kombat.
They are just generally... No one has... Prince of Persia. No one has really lifted the sort of medium beyond the meh, have they?
Yeah, I think Portal would make a good movie. I think Portal would make a very good, interesting sci-fi. But what are you thinking from a computer games fan, like Assassin's Creed fan point of view? Because I know what I think from a non-game point of view.
Okay. Things that I liked in it, obviously, the end dive obviously had to be in there.
Okay.
The soundtrack to the game, to the trailer, was completely off.
Why?
So off. Because it doesn't embody what the actual video game is. Mm-hmm. So I'm having some, what was it, like it was like a hip-hop track or something on it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I'm not on board with this at all.
And anything else you didn't like? Just the soundtrack.
Okay, also the Animus, him flying around the room.
Oh,
I'm like,
okay. Yeah.
What?
Okay.
No, okay. Fassbender, obviously, again, in it.
He is amazing. He's a good actor.
And obviously, stepping away from the title of the first three films when you're playing as Miles, that's good. I think that's a good call.
Mm-hmm.
But and also putting it in another time period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I will wait. But I'm holding my reservations on this because it's such a classic. I think it's such a great series of games that Ubisoft have made.
Yeah, people are going to be looking at it with. Quite critical eyes if you love the game franchise.
And I mean the soundtrack was the main thing that probably bothered me.
Really, I didn't mind that because you know what, the adverts for the games have always like famously had modern day soundtracks.
Yes,
you know, so and quite dancey and like post-apocalyptic type dance tracks. I remember the adverts quite well from the soundtrack and from the music they've chosen on there. But I watched this in the train with a hangover, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I'll watch this. This will take my mind off this hangover." A few weekends ago, it looks fine. You know, it looks fine. It just looks like an action movie by numbers. I actually thought it looked quite intriguing. I'm gonna watch it with fresh eyes. I like Fassbender. I think he'll be fine. It looked fine.
Yeah, I think it just goes back to video games and movies and stuff. And I said this to Charles in the last interview, that like, if you're going to have a film as a video game or a video game as a film, just do stuff like Uncharted or The Last of Us,
Mass Effect.
Like, there's such big blockbuster games that you can compare them
you
now
to
movies.
You could do like a series for... I mean, Uncharted could be the Indiana Jones that Indiana Jones isn't now. Do you know what I mean? Like, the last Indiana Jones film I didn't really enjoy, but I feel that Uncharted could bring some freshness to that. It's kind of like... you've got James Bond, you know, and then you've got the Bourne trilogy, and I feel like the Bourne trilogy is like the edgy cousin of James Bond. And
But it made Ben Bond better.
Yeah, that's true, and it sort of ups the game. I just think you need that competition. Sometimes you need something else. And Mass Effect could be a great dark space opera. Like, it could be amazing, you know. But, you know, computer games as movies, whatever. I mean, I don't really... They're famously bad, so I'm not expecting much.
The thing is, there's no reason that someone shouldn't be able to make a good video game movie.
No.
You know, people have made, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, which first movie is great, and that's based on a ride. You know, so, you know, I think the problem they do have is that the storytelling in a game and film are slightly different, and you need that interactive element and everything in a game. And they want to keep the fans of the games happy, mm-hmm. and keeping the fans of the games happy doesn't necessarily play to telling the best story. Mm. So they've got to be quite bold in that regard. Mm-hmm. I felt this trailer. Well, I quite liked the opening. I thought the sci-fi bits looked quite interesting, yeah. and the way it cut to the sort of the past. That I thought was interesting. Suddenly, it's just a man jumping around buildings,
mm. yeah.
which was just like a game, and it didn't even feel like a sophisticated game. It felt like something from the mid 90s. You know, yeah, like someone just bouncing off buildings. Mm. So that kind of left me a bit cold. I mean, the thing is, though, you know, the director, it's Justin Kurzel, has worked with Fassbender and Marion Cotillard before on Macbeth.
Yeah, both great actors.
Yeah,
both of them really good.
And I think this is a bit of a pet project for Michael Fassbender. I mean, I think he's producing and shepherding it through. So,
an interesting casting. I didn't really see him in that role, but he actually looks quite good in that role. Again, I think it will be okay. I don't think it's. I mean, this is coming from a non-gamer point of view. It'll be all right. I don't think this is like the worst thing I've seen.
But really. It's kind of like the. There's the new Warcraft game film out.
I think that looks quite fun.
Do you know what?
It looks like it's going to be a fantastical romp.
Yeah.
That's what I think it's going to be.
The titles of the films must have been a production meeting at 5 o'clock on a Friday when everyone wanted to get to the pub. They've gone, so what are we going to call this new film? It's based on the games of World of Warcraft. What are we going to call it? We can't really call it World of Warcraft. Should we just call it Warcraft? Yes, just call it Warcraft. What are we going to call the first one? Beginning. What are we going to call the middle one? The middle. What are we going to call the last one? The end.
At least you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Could add Warcraft level one.
Yeah.
I mean, how, like, if they spent that much time thinking of the titles, like, how much time have they spent thinking of the actual content of the film?
Oh, I think it'll be fine. And they've got the guy that plays Ragnar Lothbrok from Vikings, and I like him. I can't remember his name, is actually terrible, but I think it'll be okay. I think if I was a kid, I would be dying to see the Warcraft film. And it's the same with a lot of these kind of films now. Like, I think if I was a young teen, I'd be dying to see the Assassin's Creed one. And if I was maybe like 9, 10 years old, I'd be like, oh my God, Warcraft. Like, I would be really into it. So those films, I guess, I don't know, they don't speak to me in my age and what I like now. But that's okay. There's a fan base for them. And I think it'll be fun. It'll be all right.
I think Warcraft's a tricky one. I think it's tricky. So, you know, obviously the Hobbit movies have done really well and Lord of the Rings, but selling a new sort of fantasy universe is quite difficult, and I'm not sure Warcraft is as all encompassing as it was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, if they got this movie out 5, 6 years ago, it might have been really huge. And much as I love what Duncan Jones, like his previous films, I thought Source Code's good, but Moon is amazing.
Oh my God, Moon is one of the best sci-fi films of the last sort of 10 years.
It's just a wonderful film. You know, he's a really talented director, and this is his sort of first really big budget thing. So, you know, from that point of view, I think it could be great. And you know, it's got a 3-star review in the USFX. I haven't seen it yet, but it's,
so it'll be fine. I think it'll be okay.
It's not. I don't think it's going to be a stinker.
No. We've kind of done a bit of an extra one there. We planned to talk about Warcraft.
No.
You brought it to the table, Adam.
But Assassin's Creed, I'm holding my reservations.
I'm holding it above the trash, but I'm not putting it in the bin yet.
But there was something around Assassin's Creed that I loved, and I think we brought this up a couple of weeks ago, that there was a bit of an Easter egg on the website, on the movie website. Mm-hmm. It was just a table with a telephone and a business card, and there was a number on the business card, and you could actually call that number, and that number would actually, someone would actually pick up. It'd be a voicemail, but it'd be, what's his name? Bad guy from Die Hard.
Alan Rickman?
Yeah.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Alan Rickman's voice.
Cool.
Because I think he's the villain in the film, and it's like he would pick it up. It wouldn't actually be him; it'd be a voicemail. Pick it up and like say leave a message.
Oh, that's really cool.
Or I'm out of the country right now.
Ah.
That's the kind of marketing I thought that this film would need. Mm. Something like that.
Then maybe that'll roll out. I mean, it's not out till I think it's December. Mm. So
what time?
They will ramp it up. I mean, this is the first trailer.
Yeah.
This is the first trailer before the summer blockbusters, you know, so I'm sure they'll let everything else pass. Mm. Like, yeah. So they've got time. They've got lots of time. Yeah. So next up, what we potentially trashing next?
Should we go for Star Trek first?
They've gone in a different direction with this trailer, because I think there was some criticism before, and so I can kind of see that they're trying to inject a little bit of the human element of the story in.
So this is Star Trek Beyond, isn't it?
Yes,
this is part three of the movie series started by J.J. Abrams.
What do you think, Rich? What did you think of the trailer?
I thought it was good, actually, because the last one that you were just talking about was a bit... which I love, Sabotage. Great record. Not sure it works so well back in the trailer, and it was just it just felt like it was going for the wrong market. I mean, both Simon Pegg, who's obviously starring and writing, and Justin Lin, the director, said it's not entirely... they didn't think it was particularly representative of the movie, and I thought this felt much more like a Star Trek film. You've got a great opening with Kirk sort of talking about his sort of who he is and his relationship with his, you know, his father's legacy, which is such a big part of this Kirk. And also there's some really nice lines with the character, like Bones sort of talking about, you know, fear of death is what keeps us going.
Good Bones impression.
And just some really cool sort of visual stuff as well, like those sort of swarm ships sort of devouring the Enterprise when they have to evacuate, and sort of little space. And so I thought it looked great and felt like really Star Trek-y.
I like some of those elements, I guess. I like the human element. I want to see where the characters are going and all that kind of stuff. I think, you know, Kirk's story, fine. I just don't, you know, the Enterprise being destroyed again, something that's boring me a little bit. And then the fact that they've showed us that in the trailer, don't show us that in the trailer, I've got a real problem with.
I have a feeling though that it's going to happen really early in the movie and is going to be the whole point, you know, whereas in Search for Spock and even Generations it happens quite late on.
Yeah, it builds up.
Whereas this, I think they're going to get set upon by Idris Elba's character, who I think is called Krall, and that they're going to get marooned because the ships crash, and I think that is kind of going to be the whole jumping off the point of the story. Because I don't think they're basically on the 5-year mission now, so they're going to be in deep space.
I mean, I sort of read what Simon Pegg was saying about the film, and his words are quite interesting. Because he's written this film as well, co-written this film. And he was kind of saying, whereas, you know, that you trust in the Federation and the old series and the old films. The Federation is like, you know, the warm bosom of the Federation. Everything's okay with the Federation. But in this film, he's kind of questioning, or the writing questions, whether it is okay to be part of the Federation. Is it okay to be part of this big organisation? And I think that's quite an interesting turn to take. They're taking the essence of Star Trek and they're kind of turning on its head a little bit. Also, it's coming out the 50th anniversary of the TV show.
Well, it is this year. I mean, I think it started in September, but...
About 1966.
66, yes.
So 50 years of Star Trek. I don't know. I always say I'm going to go watch it at the cinema, which I will. But I don't know. The films have left me a wee bit cold every single time, and it's... I don't think it's because they're the worst films in the world or anything, but and then Justin Lin, I don't like the Fast and Furious, and he's directing this. Justin Lin's directed Fast and Furious, so I'm not sure. I'll watch it, but I think it's going to be okay. I think it might leave me cold again.
Something that I thought it was lacking was there wasn't enough lens flares.
Well, JJ's off it now, isn't he?
Yeah. So yeah, see more kind of like whatever crashing, stupid action of Justin Lin.
Instead of having to put your sunglasses on to watch this film.
Though there's a wonderful shot in this trailer of like just the Enterprise from side on, and you just see it in a warp bubble. It just looks amazing. I thought the first JJ Abrams track was amazing, and I absolutely love it. Every time it's on Channel 4, I kind of, which is a lot, kind of it's a turnover. But there's... I thought Into Darkness was a little bit of a mess because it was so in thrall to the Wrath of Khan. You know, and at the end when they're even saying lines, it felt like just a bad cover version. And I just hope that this film is like prepared to just say, we're making a new film. Who cares that Wrath of Khan was awesome? Because Wrath of Khan, awesome as it is, it's been one of the worst things that's happened to Star Trek movie franchise, because, you know, they tried to recreate it in Nemesis, didn't do it very well. They tried to recreate it in Into Darkness and didn't do it very well. And it's like, just accept that's Wrath of Khan. That's a great story. Yeah. Don't try and do it again, because you won't do it as well.
Yeah, I think they're moving away and, you know, doing their own thing, and Simon Pegg's clearly a huge fan of the series, and I, you know, he said he was watching the old TV series whilst he was writing and stuff, just to kind of like, you know, kill time and get into the vibe. I said, I trust Simon Pegg. I mean, I like Simon Pegg a lot, and I don't know, I don't like Justin Lin's directing, I don't like the Fast Furious, but I think it'll be fine. I think it's going to do well, and it'll be fine. 50 years of Star Trek, definitely going to go see this.
Well, I think that's the 50 years of Star Trek, I think, is a really big deal.
Yeah.
It's groundbreaking. It's just a little bit younger than Doctor Who, but if you think that how much stuff there is there, and you know, Star Wars is the one that everyone loves. Star Wars is very special, but just think how much more Star Trek there is out there, certainly on screen. You know, we've got six TV shows if you include the animated show, and you know, this will be the 13th movie. You know, there's so much Star Trek.
So much. It's one of the, I think maybe the first sort of sci-fi was really exposed to the trip before Star Wars and everything, because my mum loves Star Trek.
Well, yeah. Was, I think, you know, in the 80s, 90s, it was one of the few bits of sci-fi you had access to, you know, certainly in terms of TV, because there wasn't as much as there is now. I mean, yeah, Star Trek was on telly a lot.
Because I remember BBC Two, it used to be Star Trek, the original series.
Yeah.
And then I think a little bit later, about 9 o'clock at night, you know, probably Red Dwarf or something like that. So it was a massive contrast in the shows, and I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it too. You know, it'll be fine. Not too excited by it, but I'm not gonna completely trash this one.
I didn't watch Into Darkness on the big screen. I missed it.
Right.
And I got it on Blu-ray when it came out at Christmas time, or whenever it came out. So I was kind of a bit gutted that I never saw it on the big screen. But I'm gonna go see this one on the big screen.
Yeah, you should. I kind of try and make a point to see all the big blockbusters on the big screen.
The next one we're going to watch on the big screen. I think you picked this one up yesterday, said the new trailer's come out. 5 minutes of Independence Day resurgence.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, I literally... my husband, like, rolls his eyes every time he says, I am so excited for Independence Day, because it doesn't purport to be anything but a shitty action movie. It just is what it is. It's going to be dumb. I said to my husband Paul, like, we'll watch that one in 3D. I think that one's going to make sense in the 3D, because, you know, it's like Avatar. It'll take away from the shit story and we'll just watch it. But I saw Independence Day 20 years ago. Oh, God. Feeling very old. But I saw that in the cinema, and I absolutely loved it, because it's like a big budget B movie. Like, I just felt it was just a dumb space film. I like all the one-liners, the cigars at the end of the thing, like where they're kind of like doing this really kind of like sort of a virus that a 5-year-old could send to like an alien ship. It's great. So this one, we have any Will Smith in this one. We've got It Follows actress Micah something or other, I can't remember her name, she's in this, she's a bit of a breakout, and we've got Liam Hemsworth in there as well. The only problem I got with this huge trailer is they pretty much outlined what's going to happen, unless there's some kind of twist that Roland Emmerich is going to throw at us.
Well, yeah, because that's, we all thought that he was dead.
And there's like the same, like
the doctor, president. Yeah, the doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, yeah, I think they did actually leave it more ambiguous than we remember. I can't remember.
Like they made a big deal about his death. No. Let's put it that way. No. And you know, if you've got, you know, if you want to bring a character back in the film world, you could definitely try and bring them back. It's fine. I kind of feel like there's moments in this, like the, you know, Bill Pullman is the president going into the room, and it's echoing again. I've got a problem with films that echo, you know, scenes from the previous films.
I think it's a really tricky road to go down when you're so, you know, it's like it was like in X-Men Apocalypse, where they're coming out of Return of the Jedi, and so it says, oh, the third movie's always the worst one, and that's a little bit too knowing. You know, you have to be really confident to actually get away with that kind of humour.
Exactly. I mean, I think Independence Day will be fine. I am very excited about Independence Day.
I think the thing with Independence Day, the original, it's a great film when you're 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. But it was entirely built around those shots of the White House, Parliament, Empire State Building blowing up.
Yeah.
And after that, it kind of loses. There is a really good dogfight between the Air Force and alien ships, but it's... it's quite a front-loaded movie. Mm. And you know, when it resolves, it's like, okay, is that it? And I'm kind of like, do I really need to see more? I don't know. I really hope it's enjoyable and fun. I mean, it's going to be, if it's anything like the original, it'll be enjoyable, fun, cheesy. It's not going to change the world.
No.
But it should be entertaining.
Yeah.
And hopefully, like the first one did, it will show you something they've never done before, because the effects there are actually mostly pretty well stand up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few bits of CG, well, you know, like CG fireballs, which were really hard to do back then. But you went, they've got model shots of things blown up, and they look amazing. Yeah. I mean, that actually in New York, where they sort of,
the beam
comes down, the Empire State Building goes. And so that worked really well on radio.
Yeah.
You know, it basically just flattens New York. It looked amazing.
Yeah, it still stands up. I mean, I love that film because I was about 12, 13 when that came out.
I was 8.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it at the cinema. My uncle got a bootleg copy of it and showed it to us when I was about 8, on when I was probably about 9 years old, actually.
Yeah, my brother was about the same age, and he was in a different zone. He was in Power Rangers Land or something like that, and I was like, I just was like, oh my god, like I went out with my neighbours to see this film. It was like an outing. We got our ice cream and popcorn and everything. It just felt like a really ridiculous, bombastic, bloated action film. And as a young early teen, 13-year-old, like it's just kind of what you want to watch sometimes. But of course, now being a weary 30-something, I'm going to be going, oh, okay. Like I'm excited for the kind of nostalgic element, but you know, my husband's like, why did you like this film? Like, he's slightly older, so he was a bit like, I wasn't a pie and stuff like that. But he's just going to sit there and
what the food?
No, the film. Yeah. The film.
I was too busy eating pie to go and watch.
I was into pie or cherry, blueberry, you know, chocolate, whatever they gave me. But he was into sort of slightly different things. But yeah, like I'm going to drag him along to see my poor husband. I do drag him along to see a lot of crap action.
Sorry, Paul.
Anything with fireballs, fire, explosions, robots, aliens, space, superheroes, happy. I think.
But has any good film ever been made without those elements?
Batman v Superman. Oh no, we're back there again. I'm excited, but it's not going to be the film of the year. Let's put it that way.
I mean, yeah, I watched that and I was like, I don't probably need to go see the film now because I've just seen the trailer. I've seen most, and I know pretty much how
I'm dusting off my 3D glasses. Yeah. I'm dusting them off.
They're gonna find some miraculous way in the 11th hour to save the world.
That's the same with every kind of you go for the spectacle and then that's it, and then it's over. You don't have to dissect it. Sometimes you need that.
They used, obviously it was virus in War of the Worlds, and the computer virus was a riff on that. Where do you go from there? You know, are they just going to kill them with, I don't know, they're going to bore them with TV or
totally. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Falling Skies? That I thought was really a well made science fiction TV series about when aliens come and invade and aliens win.
The first few seasons were good. I think it lost its way.
To be fair, I didn't watch the season finale, this last one.
I read it at Wikipedia, so that'll do.
I mean, let's face it, if the aliens did come here, they'd win. Get here, they're going to win.
Pretty much. I mean, as a human race, we're pretty stupid and weak. So,
and we probably spend the whole time arguing about how best to fight the aliens. Yeah.
Well, actually, like just a little anecdote, moving away from trailer trash, I was in a dive bar in Soho a few years back, and we got into this conversation, my husband and this guy, about football, right? And so they were like, oh, my team, your team, whatever. It was something about Celtic and Rangers or something really boring like that. Anyway, Paul walked away from it because he couldn't be arsed. And then I said to this guy, if aliens came down tomorrow and they were going to kill us all, it wouldn't matter about what colour you were, your team or whatever. So you're getting really annoyed over nothing. And he went, oh, yeah, I didn't think of it like that. And therein lies the problem of the human race. We are dead if aliens come down. Oh, yeah, now I get it. Now let's all be friends, hold hands. But it's just people are so stupid. We would die pretty much immediately. I would try and find like some kind of underground bunker or just dig a hole. What would be your alien plan? Well, I've got a post-apocalyptic zombie plan, but I've not really thought about my alien plan.
I think I've got... Yeah.
I've
got a plan for pretty much every eventuality of like science fiction happening.
All right, zombie plan.
So zombie plan is get the fuck out of Dodge and
how
go to London. Get a steal a car.
You're in. You drive.
I can't drive, but I've had lessons. You don't need a license.
Yeah,
it's the end of the world.
End of the world. All bets are off.
I don't know your plan. Shit, I wouldn't be in your gang. I'd be driving past you in my smart car, which would be easily overturned by a horde. kind of going, bye, Adam. Oh no, shit! There's a horde. But my flat's quite high up, so I think we could survive for quite well. My friend actually, she's amazing. But she actually keeps tins of beans and stuff. She's like, just in case there's a zombie uprising. Like, she actually genuinely says, actually.
I do that too.
She's like, no, I haven't.
I've got like.
Do you have tins?
Yeah, tins. Tins of like fruit.
She's upped
veg.
It as well. Like, I went around to her house. She's got two kids now. And she was like, no, I've got more now because I've got a family to feed. So we have to. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay, cool. Love it. Love it. What about your zombie plan? You live in Bath.
Yeah.
How well fortified is your house?
For a zombie invasion, probably not particularly, and I'm more worried about the people. I don't think about that often, because you know we're a little bit behind in Bath, and you know, it would come to London and it'd be all fashionable. The zombie invasion probably might take about 2 years to reach it back, so we'd have plenty of time to prepare in the meantime. I don't know, probably get in my car, go somewhere.
Yeah, if you've got a car, pretty much you're sorted. Mm. My car's
if it always
the
goes
street.
Wrong, you know, and then you relax and you think, oh, it's all really happy, and oh, zombies come or someone comes and says, oh, I'm having your house.
I'm having your house. Hello, having your house.
Yeah.
But what about an alien invasion? What
that's
would you
harder.
Do? That's more difficult.
You get on your mobile and say, I, for one, completely welcome our insect overlords.
Hi, do you need any PR? Because that's my only skill in apocalyptic, that I'm useless.
Who's to say they're not already here running the country?
Or even
in this room.
Well, there is that theory about lizards and stuff as well, isn't there? The Queen. Anyway, I'm watching too many David Icke videos on YouTube, clearly. But yeah, like I was talking about this with a friend, like what our skills would be in like a post-apocalyptic thing.
God.
I worked out that I have no skills to see me through. I know that. I was with a couple of friends, our friend Ed and my husband. They can carry stuff, they're strong, but I have got no skills. And his wife, who's a lawyer, she was like, no, I would try and rule. I was like, well, I could be your sidekick and just like get the people on your side. Yeah. So I could just do a bit of PR. I think that's about as much as I could do.
I could write about what was happening.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, this again, utterly pointless. I mean, can you smack a zombie with a laptop? I don't know.
No, that's the thing. And will laptops work when the power's
on? Oh, I think for hitting a zombie, they still work.
You might have to
start. You don't
start
need the power for that.
Scribing things and like doing like a little papier-mâché paper, and so, you might have to go really old school with this.
Yeah.
But it could be you could be like a messenger type, like spreading the word of.
That sounds quite dangerous.
Yeah, that's
if the people you're messaging to don't like you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like, you know, you've seen all those medieval movies where the herald just gets killed straight off.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
true.
The head gets sent back to, I don't really want to be that guy.
Well, what's your skill? What would you do?
Well, I mean, being a radio producer and presenter, it kind of limits me in what I can do.
Unless it's like Fallout-esque and you've got a town
set. I can get a radio station.
But we're talking about you'd have to start that.
I'd have to
get the wires together.
Ali, can you help me make a radio station at the end of it? Thanks.
Yeah, I think we've got no skills. Yeah. I'm going to start learning to sew or do things out of wood or something.
So basically, we just need to work now to make sure that the zombie apocalypse never happens.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or an invasion never happens.
What we'll do is we'll do a huge sign that just like across the Pacific or a desert or something where there's no people, just says, aliens, not welcome.
Yep.
Yeah. And then please leave us alone.
Hope for the best. Love you.
Or unless you're E.T. and then you can come all you like.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Yes.
E.T. and Alf, welcome.
Or Navigator spaceship.
Yeah, if you want to blow us up, please just leave us alone. If you want nothing to see here.
Take us on a journey through time and space.
Yes.
That's absolutely fine. Yeah. So, yeah, we're lovers, not fighters.
Well, that went completely off tangent.
Sorry about that. God. Okay.
The final one was Mr. Robot. The season 2 trailer.
In a nutshell, excited.
I can't wait. Again, it's going to be another one that I'm going to be watching on my mobile phone.
Sounds very Fight Club-esque, because I know that the writer and director is very influenced by. I mean, the last three episodes of season 1 became completely Fight Club.
Yeah.
Which is no problem with me, but I'm really excited for season two. Yeah.
Have you watched season one?
I haven't actually, because yeah, we don't actually cover it in SFX because it's not quite sci-fi enough. So it's one of those shows that people go, this is amazing, and it's on my list of things to watch.
Do so, it. Definitely. You will enjoy it. It's really good.
It's sort of one of them summer binge watchers. Mm-hmm. When you get a couple of weeks or you've got a week off and you're not really doing much around
it's
the
a
house.
A bit of a thinker as
just
well.
Put it on.
Makes you think. I like it a lot.
Okay.
So what's coming up next?
Because we ranted on for quite some time about how we're going to end. Well, actually, I quite like that bit. We should do that every week, Harry. We're going to be doing our good, the bad, and the ugly. And also because it's holiday season, basically. I'm off on my holidays. I'm on my holiday right now. Where would you like to go in a fantasy land, like a fantasy location? Kay. Anywhere, anytime, any place. Okay. We'll be talking about that straight after this. To the end of the show again. It's like, well, it's always the way, like we always just get right into it and then it's the end of the show.
I know, but it's been good.
I liked today's show.
I think nice. We should get people to tweet in their zombie apocalypse plans.
Yes, email us, spoiler@foobarradio.com with your zombie apocalypse plan. I want to know details, because then we'll sort of like merge our groups together.
Yeah,
and like have one sort of like mega group. Not like the Saviors, because no one wants to be them, but like Rick's group.
Like, okay, yeah, I don't know. Rick's boring me now.
And can I just add, when I was sort of anti-aliens, it was entirely about extraterrestrial aliens who want to kill us. I don't want anyone to think that I've gone a bit Daily Mail.
We don't want your kind over here.
It's entirely Independence Day aliens who want to kill us. Them I don't like. Everyone else is completely welcome.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So friendly things, fine. And Rich, tell us about the magazine again. What issue are we at? Where can people buy it?
Okay, this is issue 275 of SFX. It is on sale now, and you can buy it anywhere where, you know, you're a decent newsagent, or you can buy it online, so you can download it for your digital device.
Great.
And it's got Doctor Strange on the cover.
Yes, get it now.
And can I just add as well, if you are into science fiction books, we're co-hosting an event in the start of June at Foyles on Charing Cross Road in London. It is top authors Stephen Baxter and Alistair Reynolds. They are talking about The Medusa Chronicles, which is their sequel to A Meeting with Medusa, which is a classic Arthur C. Clarke story. So that's 4th of June at Foyles, and you can get tickets at foyles.co.uk/events.
Excellent. Will you be there as well?
I am going to be there.
Nice.
Excellent. Please come down and say hi to Rich and regale him with tales of your zombie apocalypse plans. Anyway.
Right, so
let's go on.
As we always do, the final part of the show is our good, the bad, and the ugly.
Now, what is the theme again?
So this week, because it's holiday season, sort of, everyone's going on their holiday.
Well, you are.
I'm on my holiday.
We aren't.
You're not.
But
you've been on so many trips already, Claire. It's like, it's kind of unfair.
They're work trips. But yeah, they were
work
trip.
In inverted commas, work trip.
Yeah, it wasn't a hardship, but yeah, I'm not going to get to go away next to my birthday in October. Boring. But anyway.
Yes, so I'm off on my holiday, so I thought, well, actually, where would I like to go in like a fantasy, could be science fiction land? Fantasy vacation spots.
I asked if we can do computer gaming.
Computer
type
games. Okay. Can be anywhere you want. Like, obviously, if you're doing a video game, it's not going to be Silent Hill, because that'd just be the worst holiday ever.
That would be awful. I don't think you would survive very long. Yeah. I think,
That and Raccoon City.
No.
I'm just like, no.
No. But so what did you choose for your favourite spot?
So I have gone with Dinotopia.
Dinotopia? Why?
Well, Dinotopia is like the better version of Jurassic Park. Dinosaurs don't try and eat you.
Okay.
They talk to you in Dinotopia. They're actually like, some of them are quite pleasant. Obviously, they could be the bad dinosaurs, but
we have a chat with them.
They're civilized. Oh. They're a civilized people.
Okay, that's an interesting
one. And I liked dinosaurs, and I liked the book, the series Dinotopia, I loved when I was a little kid.
Yeah, it is a very good series. Yes. It's a good book. And what about you, Rich?
Oh, this was hard. Okay, I was thinking I'd really like the views on Pandora from Avatar.
Oh.
I'd like to work out how those floating islands actually work.
Okay. Yeah.
Makes no sense. And, you know, guaranteed sun, you could go to Tatooine. It was a bit dry. You'd have to take your own water with you.
I thought you would choose a Star Wars series.
Well, it's got two suns. That'd be cool. But so I'd actually quite like to go on holiday, just even if I just had a spaceship, I'd be happy.
I did think about the Avatar place, but I don't like beasties and insects.
Mm.
So I thought, what would I like to do? I like cities. So I put the Citadel from Mass Effect. I was like, well, there's loads of shops and there'd be loads of like traders there and loads of interesting people. I'm probably good. I'm reckoning some good restaurants. I'm thinking some sci-fi Michelin star dining. I'm sure that will be there in the Citadel. So,
most possibly.
Yeah, and there'll be like things to do, museums. I'm sure the Citadel's a great place to go. So I chose the Citadel, although this was very hard. I almost chose Vice City, just because it looks like LA. And I was like, oh yeah, Vice City, I'd go there.
Yeah.
Or Myst, from the 1993 game Myst. Like a little weird little island.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Citadel.
Actually, I did think, I'm not sure if he's on Airbnb, but if Tony Stark is, I'd quite like his Malibu beachfront pad.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, actually.
Aaron Paul has put his London pad up on Airbnb.
He has, hasn't he?
No way, really?
Yeah. If you want to go to Jesse Pinkman's flat in London, Airbnb it.
Where is it?
I don't know the details.
Yeah, so we just go there. We don't know where it is.
But you can look it up on Airbnb. You can book it on Airbnb. It's it's about £500 a night or something like
that. Well, yeah, it's going to be a bit, you know, no, that's way above my budget of like 30 quid a night. Okay, so guilty pleasure type thing.
You can go first, Claire.
Mine was Mars from Total Recall, like the film, the first film.
Oh, yes.
So I was thinking it's probably not the best place to go. But I'm quite interested in going there just because I love Total Recall so much.
Yeah.
Visiting the mutants, getting my palm red. I think I'd be quite enjoy
that.
I
just have this imagery now with a little lonely planet and just sort of say, oh, hello, nice to meet you. Hello, mutants.
Hi, mutants. So this is where I get my palm red. Here's a coin or a credit or whatever we call it in the future, credrons. But yeah, I'd probably go there.
Yeah. If you ever get lost, there's the lady with free boobs. Go ask her for directions. Totally.
And ride around in Johnny Cab.
Mm. Oh, Johnny Cab, so good. What about you, Rich?
Okay, guilty. this is from The Simpsons, actually. The world made of chocolate. Because it's so stupid.
I applaud you. That's
amazing. And mainly just because of the amazing bit where Homer just goes up to a window and says, "Wow, half price chocolate."
He just eats the little dog. Yeah, that is a good one. That wins. I don't care what's going to be said next. Now that one wins.
Well, I went with Neverland.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Just because you could fly. I mean, you'd never grow up.
Oh, you've gone for quite sort of childhood type ones. Not Adam.
No.
You're so sweet.
Turn 29 the other day, and I'm not taking too well to it.
Oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. No, I like Neverland. I like just like that story of Peter Pan and stuff. So, yeah.
That's nice.
Went for Neverland.
Okay, well, but the place you wouldn't want to go.
The Bad. We'll start with you, Richard. The Bad.
Okay, I went Star Wars first. Mustafar, you know, the volcano planet where they have the climactic duel. It's just all volcanoes and lava, and I just can't imagine finding anywhere to sit down.
It'd be rather hot.
It'd be rubbish.
Yeah, it'd be pretty rubbish. I chose Hobbiton.
Hobbiton?
Why?
Because I don't like the country. This is the only, because it's boring.
It's meant to be this beautiful idyll, you know. J.R. Tolkien was saying, this is what we're fighting to protect.
And you know what? I'm going to treat it like every countryside retreat I've ever gone to. I would enjoy the first few nights, and then I would get utterly bored.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's that market again. Yeah. Cool.
I'd start sneezing.
Yeah,
just because of all the fields.
There's just no, and I'd be too tall for all the houses, and I've got back problems already, so I'd be like crouching down, and the beds would be too small, so no. And also, I don't like the country, so no.
Gandalf managed, and he's like hundreds of years old.
Yeah, that's true, but he's magical, so I'm sure he doesn't suffer from back problems. So it's like just he magics himself, and he's fine. But yeah, it's beautiful, and I do like the countryside for a day or two, but not for. Mm. A big vacation.
I went with Jumanji. I'd hate to go to Jumanji.
Again, a childhood type thing.
Like, you just imagine, like, you're playing a lovely board game, you get sucked into it, and then you're fighting for your life.
And you're stuck in it.
And you're stuck in it until someone rolls a 6 or an 8.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I mean, is there a warning on the box that happen?
Yeah. There is, massive, big warnings all over the box with the rules.
That's quite a good one then.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So what were our good ones? Citadel, what was yours?
Dinotopia.
Dinotopia.
Tatooine or Pandora.
Interesting.
See, I think I'd like to go to Pandora on a vacation, on a holly box.
You'd have to like wear a breather mask you? That's the only thing, because the air is not breathable, and there's beasties.
Ah, yeah, problems. But you could go with your own avatar.
Oh, I didn't think of it like that. Oh, so you're just like your body somewhere else, and then you're just just a big blue person. Oh, that's fair enough.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah, the beasties would still annoy me though.
Not if you're a big blue person.
a big blue person. Yes. No, it would still annoy me. Giant spiders and weird creatures. I know that that's not
Pandora,
in the film.
Pandora is what you make it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there on a lovely note.
And on that note, it's the end of the show. Thank you very much, Claire.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you.
Again, you can pick up a copy of SFX at all good
news agents. Supermarkets.
Where are we all on Twitter and stuff like that? Adam, where are you?
I am at adamantium128.
I'm WeClaire, or WeClaire.com is my website.
You can find the magazine at SFX Magazine on Twitter or SFX Magazine on Facebook.
Yep. And you can download all the shows we've done
on the website, which is foobarradio.com/spoiler alert, and we will be back in a month's time. So bye.
Left wing subwoofer, pigeon flicks and my thin brown hair like an LRG, sucking me, tracing the language of social mobility, but I don't seem to mind the cruising link between people and time. It's an enemy telling me the wheels are up, but I'm circling the opposite of life. The anime just creeps up on me slowly, surely.
Solidify, and in time become black and demand.